We do have some events coming up the first weekend in December, which is two Sundays from today. Brother and Sister Abernathy will be with us, and that's a first Sunday, and so we will have Sunday night church. And so we love Brother and Sister Abernathy from Headquarters Global Missions, and they will be with us preaching and singing and laughing and crying. We'll just do it all. We're going to have a good time with the Abernathys. Also, I believe the 4th of December is the Ladies Fellowship, and that's still on. And my wife will be making some announcements about that as far as the gift. I think they're going to bring gifts to actually give away for a charity. And then, of course, bring your favorite appetizer. And that's Friday night, the 4th at 7:30. Nehemiah chapter 4 and verse 11. And our adversary said, "They shall not know, neither see, till we come in the midst among them and slay them and cause the work to cease." And it came to pass that when the Jews which dwelt by them came, they said unto us 10 times, "From all places whence ye shall return unto us, they will be upon you. Therefore set I in the lower places behind the wall and on the higher places. I even set the people after their families with their swords, their spears, and their bows. And I looked and rose up and said unto the nobles and unto the rulers and to the rest of the people, 'Be not ye afraid of them. Remember the Lord, which is great and terrible, and fight for your brethren, your sons and your daughters, and your wives and your houses.' And it came to pass when our enemies heard that it was known unto us, and God had brought their counsel to naught, that we returned all of us to the wall, every one of us unto his work. And it came to pass from that time forth that the half of my servants wrought in the work, and the other half of them held both spears and shields and bows and harbingers. And the rulers were behind all the house of Israel, they which builded on the wall, and they that bear burdens with those that laded. Every one with one of his hands wrought in the work, and with the other hand held a weapon. For the builders, every one had his sword girded by his side, and so builded. And he that sounded the trumpet was by me, and I said to the nobles and to the rulers and to the rest of the people, 'The work is great and large, and we are separated upon the wall, one far from another. In what place, therefore, ye hear the sound of the trumpet, resort ye thither unto us," or come to us. "Our God shall fight for us." So we labored in the work, and half of them held spears from the rising of the morning till the stars appeared. And so this morning, I want to preach to you a word from God today that I have simply entitled, "The Wall and the Warrior." The Wall and the Warrior. Could we pray? Lord Jesus, I pray that you would gird up our hearts and our minds today. Lord, that you would let us be prepared for the battle, for the work. In the name of Jesus, I pray that you would challenge us and take us to a new level in the Spirit, that we might be committed without reservation, without inhibition, without anything that is holding us back, Lord, that we would give ourselves to the work and to the war in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Could you put your Bibles down and put your hands together? The Wall and the Warrior today. Hallelujah. God bless you. You may be seated. I quoted some of this on Wednesday night, but this is the famous writing by Thomas Paine. It says, "These are the times that try men's souls. The summer soldier and the sunshine patriot will, in this crisis, shriek from the service of their country. But he that stands by it now deserves the love and thinks of man and woman. Tyranny like hell is not easily conquered. Yet we have this consolation with us that the harder the conflict, the more glorious the triumph. What we obtain too cheap, we esteem too lightly. It is dearness only that gives everything its value. Heaven knows how to put the proper price upon its goods. And it would be strange indeed if so celestial an article as freedom should not be highly rated." If you've never read Thomas Paine, if you want your blood to be stirred, if you want your courage to be raised, just read the words of Thomas Paine. He will challenge you. Because he said, "These are the times that try men's souls." And then he contrasts the summer soldier and the sunshine patriot that shrinks in the face of the battle, in the face of the heat, in the face of the struggle, in the face of the things that are going against them, that they will shrink in those times. But the men and women that are willing to fight through it all, to endure through it all, they deserve our love and our thanks today. And so as in the physical world, in our past, in our fight for freedom, today I stand and tell you that it is the time for summer soldiers and sunshine patriots to step aside and allow the people that are willing to do battle in the spirit, that are willing to fight for the things of God and are willing to pray like never before and are willing to love like never before and willing to move forward in the spirit like never before. It is time for us to step out and realize that there is a cause that is greater than our comfort. There is a cause that is greater than our will. There is a cause that is greater than the things that make us feel good. And if there's ever been a time for us to do battle in the spirit. Now, I'm not talking about a physical battle today, because we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and spiritual wickedness in high places. If you've ever seen it, you're seeing it right now. But oh, I want you to know that this is not a time for the church to step back. It is not a time for the church to step aside. But oh, it's time for the church to step up and pray like we've never prayed, to worship like we've never worshiped, to reach like we have never reached before. And so we see the life of Nehemiah. What a challenging character in Scripture he is. I found that through his passion, his desire, you know the story as well as I. He was in captivity. He was not in his home country, but he was working as a cupbearer serving the king. And somehow the word got into the king's court and whispered into Nehemiah's ear that the walls of Jerusalem had fallen down. They were in disrepair. They were not where they should be. And so the city that he loved was vulnerable. And we see him as this news affected his heart and his mind so bad that it affected his countenance. He could not hold it in. Even when he was in the presence of the king, he sat down and he began to weep. And his countenance was so fallen that the king noticed, "Nehemiah, what is wrong with you? What's going on? Have you lost a loved one? Have you lost someone near you? Are you feeling bad?" He said, oh no, my city that I love, the walls are down. They are in disrepair. And what he realized is that meant everything that could get in could get in. And everything of value could get out. And every city of that day that did not have a wall was vulnerable to the attack of the enemy. That he knew that the city of peace, of Jerusalem, could not have peace without their wall, without their defense, without their gates, without their protection. And so he knew that this city that he loved was in disrepair. And the people that had returned there, they were no longer safe. And now I want you to get this. I want you to notice this, that our passion is born from what we value. Our passion is born from what we value. He valued the city that he loved. He valued the city that he knew that God had ordained for his people to have. He valued it so much that when he heard that it was in disrepair and that there was vulnerability there and that there was no peace there, that there was no safety there, it moved him because he valued that place so much that it moved him to tears and he could not hold it in. And so the same way it is with us. Our passion will be born from what we value. Then the reason some people are not passionate about the church is because they don't value it like they should. The reason they're not passionate about the relationship with the body of Christ is because they do not value it enough. Oh, but I'm telling you today, those of us that realize that the church of the living God is not some organization of man, but it is ordained of God. It is built by God. It is established by his blood. It is established on his word today. We realize that church is important and we are passionate about it. Amen. And I understand that we are navigating all of the unprecedented things in our life right now. And it is a very difficult time, especially as a leader, to know what to do, when to press and when to step back and when to take a break and when to push. It is so difficult. But I want you to know that even in the midst of this situation with the virus and the things that are going on in our world, church is still essential. It is essential for your life. It is essential for my life. It is essential for your children. It is essential for our world. We have got to have the church of the living God established like never before. In the midst of these troubling times, it is not time to shrink in the face of the battle. It is not time to step aside and to allow the enemy his way. But it is time for us to go to the wall again. It is time for us to build again. It is time for us to work and to war. It is time for us to build and to battle. It is time for us to weep and to establish the things of God in our lives, in our church, in our families. It is not a time to step away from the devotion that got us here, but it is time for a full measure of devotion to be put into the way and the will of God. Because I'm telling you, the enemy wants to destroy your faith. He wants to destroy your worship. He wants to steal your prayer. He wants to take your commitment. He wants to take it away. But oh, today is we are back to the wall and the warriors are going to fight for what God has placed in our lives. Amen. It is time for us to move forward in the Spirit. Amen. It's time for us to care enough about the work of God to weep a little, to be passionate enough to be emotionally moved by what is going on. Amen. If it's not important enough to you for you to weep, your children will not understand. Oh, they may see you going to church, but they will not understand the value of it. If they do not see you pray and weep over the things of God, if they do not see us be moved by the wickedness of our world and move to prayer and to witness and to work and to warring, then it won't be long until they accept it as the norm, that they would just go the way of the world and there's really no value there. But Nehemiah told us that he was willing to weep for a city that he had not seen. If you look at history, he had never been there. It was just stories. It was just a place where his people were from, but he loved it so much that he began to weep, and his passion caused the king to have compassion on him, and he gave him the resources he needed to build the wall again. It was Nehemiah's willingness to weep, to willing to sigh and cry. We see in Ezekiel 9:1 that he cried also in my ears with a loud voice, calls them that have charge over the city to draw near, even every man with his destroying weapon in his hand. And behold, 6 men came from the way of the higher gate, which lieth toward the north, and every man a slaughter weapon in his hand. And one man among them was clothed with linen and with a writer's ink horn by his side. And they went in and stood beside the brazen altar. And the glory of the God of Israel was gone up from the cherubim whereupon he was to the threshold of the house. And he called to the man clothed with linen, which had the writer's inkhorn by his side. And the Lord said unto him, go through the midst of the city and through the midst of Jerusalem and set a mark on the foreheads of the men that sigh and that cry for all the abominations that are done in the midst thereof. And to others he said in my hearing, go ye after him through the city and smite, not let your eyes spare, neither have ye pity. Slay utterly old and young, both maid and little children and women, but come not near any man upon whom is the mark, and begin at my sanctuary, that they began at the ancient men which were before the house. Now, what is the picture here? The picture here is the Bible says the glory of the Lord that was upon the mercy seat. It arose from the mercy seat, and he went and he stood by the door. And he called the angel that was dressed in linen and had the writer's ink horn, had a horn full of ink on his side. And he said, I want you to go through the streets of Jerusalem. And I want you to find those that are dismayed, that are sad, that are weeping for the abominations that are going on in this city. And I want you to mark them. And I want you to mark them on the forehead. And then all of these other angels that have the slaughter weapon in your hand, I want you to go behind the one with the inkhorn. And everyone that doesn't have the mark, I want you to destroy them. I want you to kill them. I don't want you to have any mercy. What was he saying? He was trying to get across to Ezekiel and to the people that there was a thing that is going on in the nation of Israel, in the city of Jerusalem, that was worth weeping over. Because the worship was not where it should have been. Because the word was not established where it should be established. Because there was abominations that were going on in the streets of Jerusalem and in the temple and around the court, around the temple. He said, I want you to go and I want you to mark the ones that are sighing and crying. I want you to mark the ones that are willing to weep over the sin men of this nation, and they will live, but everybody else is going to die. And so I want you to know that here today, we are to the wall. We are to the warriors. We are what God has called us to be, because there is a cause, and we're going to weep over the sin of our nation. We're going to weep over the anemic place of prayer in the church. We're gonna weep over the things that are not the way God tells it. We're gonna love God. We're gonna love Him so much that we are going to weep. We're gonna allow it to affect us, not just casually, but we're gonna allow it to affect us emotionally. We are weepers and we are warriors. We will build the wall and we will continue to fight the battle. The Bible tells us that Nehemiah told his men, he said, they want to stop us. They want to stop the work of the Lord. They want to hinder us rebuilding the walls. But we're not going to stop building. We're just going to build with one hand and we're going to defend ourselves with another. We are the wall and the warriors. We are going to build what God told us to build. We're going to be the church that God called us to be. And every hindrance that comes against the church is going to be destroyed, because we are going to continue to preach, and we're going to continue to pray, and we're going to continue to repent, and we're going to continue to love, and we're going to continue to heal, and we're going to continue to do what God has called us to do. Amen. Psalm 126 and 5, and says, they that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth weeping, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. And so let us today, way of life, let us give ourselves to build and to battle. Amen. There is a worthy cause. The world needs a lighthouse to look to in the darkest of the nights. The world needs a safe harbor that they can come into and find peace and safety. The world needs a place where they can be healed and delivered and saved. The world needs a place that will be willing to do battle for their souls, that is willing to cast out the devils that are haunting their minds and their souls, that are willing to pray the prayer of faith and save the sick. I want you to know the world deserves a church. Why do I know that? Because God Himself valued the world so much that He gave everything. He gave His all. He put it all on the line. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. God was in Christ reconciling the world to Himself. That's why I know they are worthy of a church that is willing to weep. Amen. Oh, I wish I had the energy to really get it across to you today. But I'm telling you, it is time for us to build and to battle. Joel 2 and 12 says, therefore, also now saith the Lord, turn ye even to me with all your heart, and with fasting, and with weeping, and with mourning, and rend your heart, not your garments, and turn unto the Lord your God, for He is gracious and merciful. He is slow to anger, and He is of great kindness, and repenteth him of the evil. Who knoweth if he will return and repent, leave a blessing behind him, even a meat offering and a drink offering unto the Lord your God. Blow the trumpet in Zion, sanctify a fast, call a solemn assembly, gather the people. That's what I'm doing today. Gather the people, sanctify the congregation, assemble the elders, gather the children, and those that suck the breast, let the bridegroom go forth of his chamber and the bride out of her closet. Let the priest and the ministers of the Lord weep between the porch and the altar, and let them say, spare thy people, O Lord, and give not thine heritage to reproach, that the heathen should rule over them. Wherefore should they say among the people, where is their God? I'm telling you today, God is calling us to blow the trumpet in Zion. He is calling us, Way of Life, to sanctify a fast. He is calling us to call a solemn assembly, to gather the people, to sanctify the congregation, to assemble the elders and gather the children. He is calling us. He's calling us to the wall. Amen. He's calling us to build a safe haven, a city of refuge. He is calling us so that we might be the church that he gave his life to establish, so that we might be a church full of power and prophecy, a church full of anointing that destroys the yoke, a church that is full of the faith that is able to heal the sick, that is able to raise up the lame and make them walk again, that is able to unstop the deaf ears and to open the blinded eyes. He wants to put in us the power and the anointing to break the yoke of sin in people's lives. The musicians will come. But today, hear me. The enemy is not going to stand by and just watch the wall be built. The enemy is not going to stand by and just passively give up territory. So on this Sunday morning, I am calling you, and God is calling you, and I am committing myself, and I am committing this church, that we are going to the wall. And not only are we going to build, but we're going to battle. Not only are we going to reestablish the territory that God has purchased, but we're going to continue to push in. We're going to spoil the enemies. Colossians 2 and 15, and having spoiled the principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. Amen. We're going to endure hardness. We're going to be faithful even when this world says, don't be faithful. We're going to be faithful even when our circumstances say, don't be faithful. We're going to give even when our circumstances say, you should hoard. You should hold. But we're going to release. And we're going to endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. The Bible says in 2 Timothy 2 and 4, no man that warreth entangle himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. And if a man also strive for mastery, yet is he not crowned except he strive lawfully. We're going to endure. We're going to press forward. We're going to have faith. We're going to pray, because there are some things that are more valuable to us. Not only is the church valuable for me, but my children and my grandchildren to come must know that the church is the most valuable thing on this earth, and that it's our priority. And we don't just go to church out of obligation. We go to church because we love it. We value it. And we care enough to weep. We care enough to worship. We care enough to pray. We care enough to give. And we care enough to work. And we care enough to serve. And we care enough about the church to set aside our own comforts and to set aside our own schedules. And we care enough about the work of God, because the church today is the only thing that's getting out of here alive. And so the choice today is whether you and I will be a part of it or not. And like Nehemiah, if we stand today, like Nehemiah, could we value what God has established so much that we're willing to build and to battle? We're willing to serve and to soldier. We're willing to worship and to war. It's time for us to value the church. These are the times that try men's souls. The summer soldiers, the comfortable, casual saints, and the sunshine patriots, those that love the church when everything's going their way. These will, in this crisis, they will shrink from the service of their church. But those that stand by it now, those that continue to love, serve, give, build, commit, submit now. You know, tough times have a way of sorting people out. Have you ever had a friend that you thought was a really good friend, and then you got into a battle or a difficulty, and it's like, where'd they go? And then you look around and you see somebody that you thought, well, you know, they like me, we're casual, we're good. And in the heat of the battle, you see them. They're right there next to you. And when you stumble, they're picking you up. And when the enemy comes around, tries to attack from a different direction, there's like, hey, I got you back. Don't worry. Tough times have a way of sorting people out. But those that stand now, you're going to be here when this place is overflowing with hungry souls. Oh, you're going to be here when we support every global missionary. You're going to be here when we're sending people out to establish other churches. You're going to be here when the deliverance happens, when the anointing happens, when the miracles happen. The wall and the warrior. It's time to build and battle. It's time to commit like we've never committed before. In Jesus' name. His altars are open. Could we come and pray? Our passion is born from what we value. Our passion needs to be for the kingdom, for the church. Oh, Jesus. I'm gonna see.